Hey there, this is Rich Pav from HeroFlumJapan.com, and what you're listening to right now is my train leaving the platform. Hear that? Hear the word Utsunomiya? That's my train. I'm standing on the platform watching people get on my train. I'm not getting on, I'm just sitting here watching them. And they're all squishing into the train. Oh my god, they're really squishing in. They're running because the doors are about to close. And the train is overfilled, so people have to just really, really push to get in. Oh, this guy's gonna make it. Oh, he made it. Oh, this guy just made it into the doors right under the wire. And there goes my train. So it's all wave goodbye to my train. Bye, train. Bye. Get home before I do. And there goes the green car. Green car is a new thing on these commuter trains. Right in the middle of the train, like when you go up the platform, and you get up to the stairs, you get up to the top of the stairs, and you just, you know, you wait at the closest place to get on the train. It's the green car. And what the green car is it's a car that has more luxurious seats, sort of like Shinkansen seats, bullet train seats. And you got to pay 1,000 yen, it's like $10, to sit in a nice seat and make your way home. And I just wish they would put them at the beginning of the train, to the end of the train, because now when you walk up the stairs and wait for your train, you have to walk either far in one direction, far in the other direction to get into a regular train car. And so anyway, I fucked up today's podcast. Oh man, this is pissing me off. It wasn't pissing me off, it's pissing me off now. I started my podcast this morning on the subway, and I thought it would be cool to start the podcast with the sound of the announcer, you know, the recording announcement saying the name of my train and getting off, and you can sort of hear like a different kind of ambience. It would be sort of like a nice soundscape. But I turned the recorder on a little too early, and I'm just standing there, and there's no sound on the train. So I turned it off, and then I turned it back on again, and then there was the sound of the announcement and everything. I did my whole podcast. I did from the time I got off the subway, the time I got to my office. And then I stood outside the office, leaning up against a vending machine, talking for another 10 minutes because I was on a roll. And I was feeling real good because it came out real smooth and articulate, and it doesn't happen often. And so I was just real happy getting up to the office, and I sat down at my desk and plugged in my iRiver to the computer. I have to cough. and the podcast was 8 seconds long of just dead train sound. When I turned the recorder off and then back on again, I didn't actually turn it back on again, so my podcast was just me talking to myself. So then tonight, I left the office and I was trying to do the podcast. I actually made show notes because I figured, I already know what I was going to say because I already said it. So I get out of the office and I'm walking to the train station. I'm reading off my show notes and I sound like some fucking zit-faced teenager giving the morning announcements at junior high school for the first time, and he sounds like he's going to pee his pants because he's so nervous. So I bought a beer in Shinjuku Station, the big ones, the big, I don't know what there's a word for it in America for the big cans that poor people buy that are like the size of two regular cans. And I have two more here. And I'm just real pissed off now because I can't get the fucking podcast started. Okay, so just on the spur of the moment, what I figured I was going to do was I would just wait until I got to Koga and then do the podcast. But I know I'm not going to do it. I know me. If I say I'm going to do it later, I'm never going to do it. And I have to do this podcast because I promised I would do 50 in 50 days. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to leave the station in Akabane right now. I'm going to go outside the station and do a sound seeing tour and try to recover the podcast that I tried to do this morning. And I don't have to pay anything because I have a train pass now. So all I got to do is wave my train pass over the. There we go. Wave my train pass over the little lighted spot on the turnstile that says Suica on it, and that gets me out of the station. That was a beer drinking pause. I'm drinking a can of vitamin B right now. So what I'm going to do right now is first thing is I'm going to put these microphones. I'm going to clip them to my glasses. So hang on here. You're going to hear some static and stuff when I clip them on. These clips are really tight, and they chew the shit out of my plastic glasses. I'm sorry, there's going to be cursing in this podcast, because I'm really fucking pissed. Hang on a second, I got to put my beer down here. So I'm just going to pretend that you're all blind. Because I know some of you are really blind, and some of you are deaf. I mean, that's messed up. I mean, yeah, I got a message from some guy who was deaf, and was listening to my podcast somehow. I don't know how he does that. If you're deaf, you can't hear a podcast. But anyway, so I'm just going to describe everything I'm doing right now. I'm outside of a cafe. And the train station, it's called Koji Kona. Koji Kona. It's written in katakana. And Koji Kona. So I guess that what it's called is Cozy Corner. And it's in a red and white Christmas motif. And they have a display case out in front of the store where I guess they probably had stuff they were selling during the day. But they're not selling it anymore. Hearing, and I gotta adjust these microphones here. There's no way to have microphones clipped to your glasses and look cool. It's just not possible. So. But I try to hide the cords somehow. I'm just going to try to put it behind my head. What happened? Something's messed up here. Hang on. So I'm just adjusting these, having another Adam Curry moment here, adjusting my cords. Oh. Here it is. My headphones came out of my ears. That's what's wrong. Can't hear myself. Okay, I'm ready here. Alright, I got my microphones clipped to my glasses now. So we're binaural. We're in binaural mode. And I'm gonna pick up my beers here from this display case. And right next to this display case is a white fake Christmas tree and two fake bouquets of poinsettias on the floor. And I'm gonna go out the train station. Alright, I'm gonna go out this way. So there's the train track, right? And then there's the train station that sort of it's sort of like goes on both sides of the track, right? And the tracks are elevated, so when you go out of the train station, you're actually under the tracks, and then it's like a big hall, and you've got stores on one side, and you've got the entrance to the station on the other, and you have your ticket counters, the ticket machines. And what do we have here? We have a Chinese restaurant called Xi'an Gyoza. And we have a traditional Japanese food restaurant called, I don't know, it's the characters for Wa and Kata. It's a tonkatsu restaurant. So you have the character for wa and the character for spicy. So it's like Japanese spicy. And here's the thing about written Japanese, for those of you who don't know. There are actually three different sets of characters that are used in Japanese. You have Chinese characters, which are the ones with all the strokes, and then you have hiragana, which is what they use for conjugation and for spelling out words, basically. It's pronounced exactly as it's written, not like English. And then you have another character set called katakana, which is for loan words from other languages, onomatopoeia, that's sounds, and animal sounds, the sounds that animals make. And it's a bit insulting that they use the same character set for foreign words and animal sounds, but I guess that sort of tells you about the mentality of Japanese when they invented their writing system. But it's not that way anymore. Anyway, so I'm going to go out of the train station and try to pick the interesting side of the train station. It's what time is it? Jeez, it's almost 10 o'clock at night. I left the office at about 8:30. I was the last one there. Here's something I found. I do this all the time. I always find out the day before a holiday that there's a holiday. I'm like the last one to find out. Tomorrow is Friday. Today's the 22nd. Tomorrow's December 23rd. It's the Emperor's birthday, and it's a national holiday. And I did not know. I had, I was late at work because I'm trying to finish something up that's been bugging me it's like ruining my life because I haven't been able to finish it. And people are leaving the office and they're saying, "Have a Merry Christmas," and I sort of, I don't know, just let it slide because I didn't know why they were saying Merry Christmas since we were going to see each other tomorrow. And so I finally asked somebody, like the last person that was in the office besides me, why is everybody saying Merry Christmas? I said, well, tomorrow's a holiday. So it's Emperor's birthday. He gets a big cake. This year they decided that they're not going to have the traditional stripper jump out of the cake because he's getting up in age and they're worried about his ticker. Japanese usually don't make jokes about their emperor, they usually don't. And their royal family. It's not like Britain where people really like to hear their dirt about their royal family. They actually treat the royal family with respect. So that was very disrespectful for me to talk about a stripper and the emperor. And I apologize. But to make it up, maybe I'll just sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear MP. Happy birthday to you. There. I've redeemed myself. Alright, so I'm outside the station now. And there's like a little plaza outside the station. Paved, of course. And there are trees with lights in them. And those will be probably taken down tomorrow or Christmas. Jeez, man, it's almost Christmas. I just don't feel it. It's 22nd. It's just Christmas in Japan is just it's just the decorations and they're I don't know, they're pretty low key for the most part. Japan's not a Christian country, so they like Christmas because it's kind of pretty, but it's not. You just don't get the Christmas vibe in Japan that you get in America. I don't know, you know what I mean. Oh, cool. There's I see a capsule hotel here. I'm outside of a pachinko parlor. You can hear that. And across the street, there's like this building that looks like it may be a capsule hotel. But on the top of the building, there's a miniature Statue of Liberty. That's cool. Yeah, if I had my video camera, I could show it to you. God, my hands are cold. That's one thing about this country I've never been able to understand. How can a place that is so hot and humid unbearably hot and humid in the summer. How can it get so bitterly cold in the winter? I don't get it.
So,
yeah, I'm walking around the station, and this is just, you know, just like any station in Japan, the neighborhood around the station is pretty sleazy. A lot of drinking places, a lot of pachinko. You got people standing out, guys in black suits standing at the in the intersections. Here we are. Now we're in the sleazy section. They stand in the intersections and try to entice customers into their establishment. So this is the real sleazy part of Akabane Station. This is a what is this? Fresh Salon, Gyaru House, Blue Marine. So this is the red light district of Akabane, and this is the only place in Japan where I'm like totally invisible. Nobody will pay attention to me. I'm foreign, so they don't want me to go into their sex shops. So they don't see me. They pretend like they don't see me. It's pretty cool. The only shops where they try to get you in when you're a foreigner is the shops where they have foreign women instead of Japanese women, because they'll service anybody. I guess you would call them bouncers, but they're called kakubiki. They always wear, I can't keep using traditional, they always wear black suits with white shirts, and they look kind of shady. I guess it goes with the territory. So, alright, I'm going to stand here and describe what I'm looking at here. I'm standing outside a restaurant that serves grilled chicken, charcoal grilled chicken, and it has a red paper lantern out in the front that says Hoppi, and it's called Hintori. And then on the other side of the street there's a pachinko parlor, and there are bicycles parked all willy-nilly outside the perimeter of the pachinko parlor. There's obnoxious neon lighting adorning the pachinko parlor. I'm pulling out my big words today. The place is called King Dragon. It's written in neon in English. Welcome to King Dragon. And the eye and the king is dotted with a crown. So there's like a neon stripe across the top of the building, and it's in rainbow color. So I guess they support homosexuality, and the lights are sort of like dancing back and forth. There's like a black spot that goes back and forth. Kind of reminds me of the Cylons in Battlestar Galactica. I watched a couple of episodes of Battlestar Galactica on my iPod, but it was so geeky. I ditched it. I don't know. I was really into it when I was in, God, what was I, sixth grade elementary school when that was on? I don't know. For some reason, it just kind of lost its appeal. So, since I've been standing here on this corner talking to myself and drinking, on the opposite side of the alley, there's a Chinese woman in a long coat. She's young, probably around 20. And if I wasn't talking to myself, wasn't standing here talking to myself, she would probably ask me if I wanted a massage. But instead, she's walking the other direction because I'm obviously crazy. Yeah. And the cars that are going by right now, since this is the seedy part of town, you see a lot of black cars with tinted windows, BMWs and Mercedes. My hands are cold.
Well, my hands are really cold. So nobody, whoever said crime doesn't pay was wrong. Very, very wrong. And didn't drive a Mercedes with tinted windows. It's a lot easier to podcast after you've had something to drink. But I'm going to pull out my show notes because I think I can read from them now without sounding like a zit-faced teenager who's giving the morning announcements at his school for the first time. This morning when I was enjoying my video iPod on the train, I was watching a movie that had subtitles in Japanese. And I noticed out the side of my peripheral vision that the woman sitting next to me and the guy sitting next to me on the other side, they were both watching the movie with me. It was a good thing I wasn't looking at porn. Yeah, so I'm walking now. I'm walking down this sleazy side street with these guys standing outside of these shops, sex shops, titty bars and shit. And when I pass by, they all suddenly become very interested in their own shoes. Let me pull out my... Yeah, so I was watching this movie, and the two people sitting on each side of me were into it at the same time. And I was just glad I wasn't, you know, there wasn't like a sex scene or something like that, because it would have been pretty kind of, you know, embarrassing or uncomfortable. My hands are cold. After I watched the movie, I'm just really fascinated with this. I mentioned it yesterday. This interview between Terry Moran of ABC News and Dick Cheney, when Dick Cheney went to Iraq, and Terry Moran was really asking him some really blunt questions. And I've never heard anybody... I said the same thing last week. I've never heard anybody ask questions like that to anybody in the administration. And I've been listening to it over and over again, because the way that Cheney handled himself and he handled these questions was actually... To me, it was admirable. I mean, he never lost his temper. He never stammered or stuttered or said anything to make himself... sounds stupid, which is, I mean, God, Bush can't open his mouth without sounding stupid. But there were a couple of things he said that, when you hear it the first time, you sound like, wow, yeah, he really defended his opinion really well. Like, let me see, show notes. Oh. They were talking about the illegal wiretapping that they're doing with tapping the phones of American citizens without getting a warrant. And Cheney defended it by saying, you know, this people are acting like this is an outrage, that this is the first time this ever happened, but it's not the first time this ever happened, because there's been precedent for this in World War II. With Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they did something similar by to catch German spies in the U.S. And they caught the German spies and they were executed. So this is a good thing. So he's using Franklin Delano Roosevelt and World War II as an example, but you could use a different example from the same period, and you could say that. There was also a flagrant denial of people's rights because the same president at the same time also interned, 11 110,000 Japanese Americans. And I think most people think of that as a mistake and an over exaggeration. You know what I mean. It was the wrong thing to do. And this is also the wrong thing to do. And also, if he's talking about precedents for this, you can actually go further back. You can go back to the 13th century in 1215, when there was the Magna Carta that said that the rulers of the country also have to are not above the law. And I kind of like that example a little bit better. But anyway, listening to Cheney talk and how, and you know, listening to how decisive he is and articulate almost makes me wish he was president. But the only problem is the decisions he makes suck. So there's that. Right, I'm really cold. I'm going to start walking back to the station because this isn't worth hypothermia. Oh, somebody mentioned on my blog that they went to Yodobashi Kamura in Osaka, which is the other big city in Japan that most people have heard of but don't know where it is. It's actually 3 hours south by Shinkansen. Anyway, he went to Yodobashi Kamura, and he said that there were floor models of Macintoshes at the store, and they all had iTunes running, and in each computer in iTunes, they had, you know, some podcasts subscribed, and one of the podcasts on all the computers was mine, and that really freaked me out, and I was thinking, man, I wonder if, you know, all the Yodobashi cameras in Japan have my podcast, you know, on the computers as a demonstration of how wonderful podcasts can be, or something. And I said, I don't want to find out. I don't want to know, because that would scare me. So that night, I went to Yodobashi Kamura, and I looked for their Macintoshes and checked out iTunes, and I wasn't subscribed. So I feel much more relieved now. And aside from, on top of being really cold, I have to pee like a racehorse. This was a really good idea, wasn't it? Anyway, show notes. Tomorrow's lunch will be spaghetti and meatballs. No, I'm just kidding. So, I have written next is a neurosis update. So, I'm pretty fucking neurotic about podcasting, and I'm really cold. But I thought yesterday's podcast just totally sucked, and I didn't want to put it up on the internet, and I forced myself to do it. And in fact, I uploaded it once and then deleted it and then put it back up again. Because it was really painful to put it up because I thought it was really, really bad. And I left it up and my head didn't explode and I didn't get fired or anything like that. So it was actually therapeutic. You know, it was like finding out that, you know, it was like opening your closet at night and finding out there is no boogeyman in the closet. So it was cool. And I'm going down this really narrow alley. Fashion saloon, not in chum. How about that? Just a store that says 8,000 yen in front of it. Talent Club Super Salon. Oh, it's fucking cold. I'm walking past some Chinese women now. Oh, they ignored me. was rare. They were kind of old too. They looked like they were all over 40. I don't even feel like I'm podcasting anymore. That's how cold I am. Show notes. I'm going to wrap this up soon. Shit. Okay. Well, I talked about something completely different this morning, but I'm going to save it for later, because if I talk about it now, I'm going to take too long. But anyway, so I've got this 3-day weekend, and I want to try to shit out some videos while I'm home. But I'm having this problem, and I'm hoping that somebody who's listening knows more about video hardware than I do. So here's the deal. When I'm editing video, it plays back so slowly. It's like one frame every 5 seconds. And I have to edit the video, I have to listen to the soundtrack and stop it where I think I want the cut. And it's pretty annoying. So this is what I'm using. These are my specs. I have 1.2 gigahertz CPU. I'm using a serial ATA drive, which is faster than regular ATA. I have 512K of memory, or megabytes of memory, which should be enough. And I have a Radeon 9200 SE graphics card. And I know all you women are getting all excited when we talk about technical stuff. And I'm sure I have the drivers installed right and everything like that. But still, video playback is really, really, really slow. And one thing I found out is that there's one IRQ that's being shared by like three different things. There's IRQ 5 is being shared by my USB card and my video card and something else. And I want to know if that's a problem or not, because I don't know much about IRQ, because I used to use Macs and I never learned about IRQ. Or is it simply that my computer specs are too slow for video, and I can't imagine that 1.2 gigahertz CPU is too slow, or that my graphics card is too old because it has 128 megabytes of memory. So yeah. Alright, remember I said like 10 minutes ago that I had to pee really bad? Well, now I have to pee like really bad square, so I'm just going to end this here and go pee. So I'm done. Oh my god, it's half an hour. So I feel my obligation for today. And I'm just gonna end it right now.